If a person never speaks negatively about another person, no negativity that he or she created will ever become manifest in their lives.
You can just stop the podcast right there. That's it. That's it. That's really it.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Spiritually Hungry.
Hello, I'm very excited for today's podcast.
I'm more excited.
Because, can I share why? we got a lot of comments, by the way, about your laughter last time. People really enjoyed it.
I had so much fun.
Nice.
Try to do that again.
I think we try to do this every podcast, but this one has the potential to really make our world significantly better.
Oh my God.
Not only the lives, but I mean, on all levels, right? Physical levels, spiritual levels, and the lives of our listeners that much better.
It's a global, I think, effect for sure. And also, I think it even can save lives.
Oh, definitely.
So I know you like stories, but I'm going to start with a riddle. Stories.
A riddle.
Today, we're going to delve into the topic that has the power to create, to destroy, to influence, and to endure. It's something each of us possess, but we don't direct it enough, nor do we guard it. Can you guess what it is?
Well, I know what it is.
Eliyahu, can you guess what it is? It's not desire, it's our words. So it's easy to underestimate the power of speech. After all, we speak so much all the time, especially me sometimes. We speak freely, and often we don't realize the energy we unleash with our words. But words are never just words. They're loaded. Sometimes they're kind. Sometimes they're so hurtful or painful, they can actually lead other people to taking their own life. I mean, those are a lot of the cases now in the news, and people who have bullied others online and encouraged them to take their own life, which is just a crazy level of cruelty, I think, in this generation. I've never seen it until now, and it's more and more frequent. Words are never just words. They are potent. They are healers. They are weapons. They are bridges, and they are tools. And I was thinking about this. It's an interesting paradox, because we understand that words have power, right? When somebody marries somebody, right? We now pronounce you man and wife. It certifies certain passages in time if somebody's graduating or they get a degree, right? There's a lot of weight in that, and we take it seriously. However, when we say things in anger or hatred, we think that that actually has no effect. It can't be both ways. So
if I can add, I think that it is, you know, like you said, probably one of the most underestimated parts of our lives are the things that we do. But as I was preparing for this podcast, I had this thought, you know, if a person punches somebody in the face, right, they get hurt, they'll be hurt.
We went from slapping to punching. Yes. Yes, I know you love this analogy. Yes.
But a month later or a year later, they're probably not even going to remember it. But if a person says to another person, you're the lowest person that exists, or you're like, or if a father even tells his son, or a mother tells their child,
you're a mistake.
You're a mistake. I'm disappointed or in you. You're the worst thing that ever happened to me. That is going to reverberate probably for the rest of their lives. 80 years, 90, 100
years. Play it over
years.
And over and over again.
Whereas, and again, of course, hitting your children is bad. But if they hit their child once, that will actually create less of a long-term damage. And of course, both of them are wrong. But the point is, I think, and this is what I hope to awaken within our listeners, is the weight of words. That they are probably more impactful than actions. They're more impactful than anything else that we do. And I think the problem is because we don't see them, right? Even the written word, right, to us seems more important. If I write something down, it's there. It comes into physical reality. Whereas, as I'm saying this, we don't see the sound waves that are coming out of my mouth. But I think one of the most important spiritual understandings is that words have weight.
I think to your point, if you write something down, you've taken time to sit down, get a paper, a pen, or on your phone, and you're writing it, whereas words are like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't really mean what I said. I just said it, right? We take very little responsibility with our speech. So there are a few different kinds of ways to speak evil speech. So in Hebrew, it's Lashon Hara. It's not limited just to lies, right? It's also gossip, slander.
Well, Lashon Hara, just to be clear, Lashon Hara specifically is literally translated as a negative tongue or evil speech is when it's true.
When right, you're so sharing, let's unpack this.
Yeah, so there's actually, so there's three, There's three levels, right? So there's Lashon Hara. Well, if we start from the
start
worst.
With the, yeah.
There's Motzi Shem Ra, which means giving a bad name when you actually make up lies about somebody,
right,
and share them with other people, trying to defame them, trying to hurt them.
That happens to me still in real time. Which, by the way, it's just such a... We talked about this yesterday. Like, that's when I really feel like, no, I need to go and get on a... Like, I need to explain that this is not true. But you're just like, let it go. Yeah, I don't know. That's hard for me.
Second is a person who's a rachil, somebody who like goes to you and says, you remember what so-and-so... You know what so-and-so said about you? You know what so-and-so did to you?
So is that a gossip?
A gossip monger. A gossip right. monger. So it could be true or false, but it's he or she is not necessarily... initiating the negativity, but they're carrying it and bringing it to you. And the third is Lashon Hara, negative or evil speech, when the individual is saying something that is true, but of course the purpose of it is in order to put that person in a bad light.
And we're going to unpack that one especially, because that's how the negative side really gets this job done. It will take a truth and then make that the whole truth, when in fact there's so many facets to a story or a being,
right?
Or, to look at.
Or, and this is, you know, it's interesting, in the ancient writings they compare negative speech to the venom of a snake. So a person could be 100% healthy, but if he or she unfortunately gets the venom of a deadly snake, they die. It doesn't have to overtake the whole body.
It just pierces.
It could be 0.0001% of what's flowing through their body. And I've seen this, and I've even experienced this. When somebody tells you something negative about somebody else, it's that venom. And you might know the person is 99% a great person, but now there's this 1%. And that can cloud your entire view of them forever.
It's interesting, because somebody once came to me apologizing for believing the lies that they had heard about me. And she explained something of how she was fooled, because she was so embarrassed that she went down that road, because she thought that she would have been able to see, right? And I think that's the other thing. And she said that this person that had influenced her and many others at the time to think and speak negatively about me was that it was little droplets. It wasn't a straight out like, she's this and she's that. And it was based on a simple truth. So for instance, it was, oh, you see Monica's wearing purple today. Yeah, purple. That's, you know, because the lie was that I wanted to take over and be in charge and take over my mother-in-law's position, whatever, some kind of nonsensical thing 20 years ago,
okay.
15 years ago. But the point was that, oh, you know, my mother loves the color purple. She's wearing purple because of that. And then it was another lie based on that. Oh, see, she's doing it again. She's doing it again. It was based on a simple thing that I wore a purple sweater, right? So these lies are based on something, right, that you see. And then a story is developed around
that's
it.
Interesting, right? So you're taking that. That's maybe a fourth category. It's not the straight out.
No,
negative
and I don't think
speech.
It usually. It never starts that way.
But oh no,
eventually,
that's not true.
No, I shouldn't
there's
say never.
Definitely, people sit around.
No,
and just
but for sure.
Bad about
but I
people,
think the meanness. I think the one that has like out to destroy. I actually think that often it starts out in these little droplets that then
maybe
become
a person's
bigger.
Smart. Maybe a person
yeah,
is more strategic and manipulative will yeah. do it in that way. But the reality is, unfortunately, people rise, as me and you are sitting here now trying to awaken ourselves and our listeners to the weight and detrimental effect individually and globally of negative speech. There are people, thousands, maybe millions, who knows, who are sitting with their husband, with their wife, with their friends, with their girlfriends or boyfriend, whoever, just sitting there and saying, oh my God, you know what this so-and-so did, right? I mean, this is an unfortunate
by the way,
reality. But like you said, I think people, there are people who are more strategic, yes, who, you know, sort of try to, you know...
destroy. I think that first category, I think that really comes from lack. I think often when people judge other people and put other people down, it makes them feel more elevated about themselves. So there's many, many really different reasons why people do this and to what degree and what intention they have in doing so.
And I would add, I think, fortunately, unfortunately, and I would say probably all of our listeners are in this category, unaware, right? So you're having dinner and with your family, say, oh, by the way, you know, Aunt so-and-so, she's getting divorced, right? You know, I'm just sharing news, right? We're a family. Don't you want to know the news? Well, what's your intention? Is it really as pure as that? Because you want everybody to go and support your aunt? Or is it because, you know, you want everybody to know how bad of a time she's having in life?
Well, it's really funny. Last night I gave a talk and there are these two women with suitcases. They had taken the train over for the event. And anyway, people were around me. They're like, what are you doing now? I said, well, I'm going to prepare for my podcast tomorrow. They're like, what's it on? I said, Evil Speech. And then that was funny. And I think she's trying to be funny. The one girl says about her friend, the companion on the train.
She needs to listen to this?
No, no. She's like, oh my God, you know, wow, this, my friend, that's all she ever does. All she ever does is talk about people. And I said, you just did the runner up. You just did that. I don't know if she did that intentionally, but it was so funny that, right? And I'll tell you another story. This is a fable, but I love this one. It's about a small village. There lived a shopkeeper, and he had a nasty habit of gossiping. He was the gossip monger, as you described. And what he liked is he enjoyed all the attention he got from the people coming into his store to hear what he had to share, right? So he couldn't wait to find salacious, juicy information so that when people would come in, they could go. And he got a lot of energy out of that. And I guess he felt purposeful. So the person that he spoke about, and of course, then this would spread, right? It's an outrageous story about another man. This man found out, and it was really damaging to his own livelihood, what he was doing. Nobody wanted to buy anything from him. It created such a persona around him, he was really rejected from the whole community. So he went to the chief rabbi, the leader of that town, and went to him and said, oh my God, you know, what can I do? Now the rabbi knew who was spreading this rumor. So he went to the shopkeeper and he said, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing to this man? He said, well, I didn't start the rumor. I just repeated it. I mean, how bad is that? So the rabbi says to the shopkeeper, I want you to take a pillow and I want you to cut a hole in this feather pillow and let the wind, like, shake it out the window and let the wind blow the feathers. He said, why would I do that? It's going to make such a mess. He's like, just do it. So he does it. And then the rabbi says to him, now I want you to go and pick up every feather that's flown away. And he said, I can't do such a thing. It's going to take me forever. And actually, I can never pick up every single feather that's flown. He said, that's exactly the same thing. When you spread a lie or a rumor or gossip about somebody, it's these feathers, right? These things, these messages have gone now and they spread and spread and spread, and you can never undo the harm that you have done.
Yeah. And by the way, right, I think maybe our listeners know or don't know, but inspired.
Mr. Peabody's Apples.
Was inspired by that.
Great book.
It's a great
Check
children's book, Mr. Peabody's Apples. I often think what will inspire myself, our listeners, to refrain from any level of negative speech. And there are a few ancient teachings that I know for myself, and I hope for our listeners, really inspire in this direction. First, there's in the Torah, in the Bible, there's an entire section that deals with a person or an individual who speaks bad and what happens to them. Now, when people were of an elevated state, there actually was a physical skin disease. It's translated as leprosy, but it was a different type of disease that would physically manifest on an individual who had spent time speaking negatively about other people. And that the understanding is that those people were on a higher spiritual level, therefore the effect, they were able to see, right? So can you imagine, right? Any one of our listeners could imagine if the next time you spoke bad about somebody, the next morning you woke up and you had this weird skin disease that's, you know, it would more likely stop you from speaking negatively. But and this, I think, is really
the way that stopped happening in that
because
way.
Because when you are at a lower spiritual level, the cause and effect become weaker.
Delayed
and weaker. So that the possibility of misunderstanding the negative effects of your action grows. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you know, you have less of an impetus to change, right? So if a person's of a higher spiritual level, then the effect becomes clearer and more immediate so that he or she has a greater and quicker ability to change. But what the Kabbalists teach is that just because we don't see the physical effects, the spiritual effects still occur. So for example, every negative word that we say out of our mouth not only becomes an energy that surrounds us. So imagine, you know, a person who spent the last month, 2 hours a day speaking negatively about other people. He or she has then created around themselves, unseen, yes, but a spiritual weight of negativity that weighs them down. Further, the Kabbalists teach that negativity actually becomes inscribed on the individual's bones and body.
That's insane.
So
explain that.
In ancient times, when they were of a higher spiritual level, it would manifest outward further as a physical
skin
ailment. But the spiritual effects of our negative speech are true today. So next time you're about to either gossip monger, speak truths that are negative, speak lies about somebody else, stop and say, you know, I often think the best inspiration or impetus is not what it might or might not do to others, but what is it going to do to me?
Yeah, that's usually how it works.
So know that every word, every negative word that you are, might say is going to surround you and will be inscribed on your body. And yes, there are ways to cleanse it. There are ways to get it away from you, but...
So inscribed on the bones, then what happens? Then when creates disease? Like
it can create disease. It can create heaviness. It can create all kinds of
stuck,
negative, emotional, spiritual, and physical ailments. Mm-hmm. When we speak bad, yes, we also hurt the other people, the person we're talking to, the person we're talking about. But worst of all, is what it's doing to us.
Well, I want to comment on that, but I just want to, do you know that on average, research supports that, actually there's a Stanford study, that the average person spends 56 minutes every day talking about people who aren't present?
56 minutes?
Yeah. That's 1 hour every single day spent gossiping.
On average.
Well, that was interesting.
And that's not necessarily negative. It's just talking about other people.
Gossiping.
Oh, gospel.
But you were saying that it harms, evil speech harms the individual that it's spoken about. And I want to just touch upon this as well, because there is a section in the Talmud that says a person who speaks negatively, it's not fixable. It's not something that can actually be fixed. It's one of the worst things. It is the worst thing a person can do, right? It doesn't say that about murder or adultery or theft, right? It's saying specifically about negative speech. But I remember, and we had this conversation years ago, and more recently I understood it a little bit deeper, but when there was a lot of gossip around, spread about me, I remember I got scared at some point, and I was like, well, if it's that much, right, and it's that frequent, and it's that far, and it's that wide, I mean, maybe I should hide under a rock. Like, that's pretty scary. And you shared this with me, and I'm going to try to, it's a little bit deep. Usually you do that, but I think it's such a, because I think what we're doing today, everybody knows it's not the right thing to do, but I think we're trying to say what is the damage that it does to the person speaking it, right? I mean, that is really what's going to motivate all of us to stop. So what it says is that when a person speaks negatively about somebody, it's connecting to the energy of the snake, because the snake with Adam and Eve was the first to speak negative and influence people to do something negative, right? So it connects people to that energy and disconnects from the frequency of light. There's more of a detailed explanation. I'm not going to go into that, but two funnels are basically created from the person speaking. One to the snake that is connecting to the aspect of death, to endings in, and by the way, when we speak badly about our spouse, about our children, about ourselves, that's all creating a death of sorts, right? It's a dimming of your soul light and connecting more to that force of endings, right? And then there's another funnel that then connects you to the person that you're speaking badly about. And this is what actually really inspired me, because when I was really scared and saying, well, let's go hide under rocks, the person that speaks negatively, basically every blessing that they have coming to them or that they've created through their positive actions is now given over to the person that they're speaking badly about. And that person that they're speaking badly about, whatever negative actions they have done, is now transferred to the person that's speaking ill of them. So when I heard that, I was elated, to be honest with you, because I was like, wow, so I have protection here. And also it inspired me to not gossip as much as possible. So let's talk about that, because that it does affect the person you're speaking about, but there is a protection.
Right, but to be clear, it has a negative effect in our world. Right?
Correct.
In our world. But you're saying-
But doesn't
the deep,
bring them-
Spiritually-
Damage or-
Spiritually, it's actually beneficial to the individual. So if you are being spoken about in a negative way, what the Kabbalists teach is that you are actually benefiting spiritually from that occurrence.
Which is the ultimate protection. And if people are going to judge you or hate you based on things that they've heard, well, even that, there's a reason for that.
Absolutely.
Spiritually speaking.
Exactly. So I think, right, so on the one hand, that explanation makes it clear if you're in the situation where people are speaking about you to actually get excited about it, right? Because like you said, you are in that process letting go of some negativity that you have. It goes to them.
Right.
And they are actually giving you blessings that were meant to come to them.
Right. I think that's very inspiring.
So net, it's a positive for the person being spoken about. But
correct.
I think also what we're trying to do today is awaken within our listeners the understanding
that it defames a person's character.
Well, I was going to say, spiritually, you don't want to be on that side, because, again, the person who is speaking is both giving over some of their blessings and taking over into them some of the negativity from that other person. So you do not want to be on that end.
Because here's
the
thing, when a person gossips about somebody else, they're basically stealing that person's character, because now you've rewritten a story about them that people are going to believe and then not connect to them. And I think that that's why it just bothers me so much. And I can't let go of that, because I love connecting to people. Like I live for, I'm going to get emotional. I live for helping people and connecting to them. And so it hurts me personally when I feel like that opportunity is being taken away because somebody's going to believe something about me that's not true.
And I'll share that with our listeners, what I often share with you is that I trust the creator's plan completely.
Yeah.
And if somebody was damaged by somebody else's negative speech and therefore won't connect to me, good. Because I only want to be connected
to help people that want to receive your help.
And at the light of the creator, you know, if they lose their opportunity to receive from me, you know, I'm sorry for them, but I'm not sorry for me, because
specifically, but at all the people that they influence that are not innately bad or.
Yeah, but you have to trust. That's where you trust the creator, right? I mean, that.
I trust the creator.
No, okay. I'm not saying you don't. I'm saying in regards to this fear of defamation,
it's not fear. It's not fear. It's really, I think it's a thing about being a Virgo. I think it taps into my, which I've changed a lot, but this is one area that I haven't, that this isn't just, it's not right. Right. You know, yeah. Like logically I understand clearly. And ultimately, yes, I only want to help the people that want to receive help from me. And I'm really good about that generally. But this one thing of lies, it bothers me. But again, I think it's my personality and I'm okay with that. But I always think that maybe there's something I can do to show them truth. I mean,
yeah, we had this conversation.
I know.
And I couldn't
and now we're having
less.
It with the rest of the world.
Exactly. I think that, you know, like I said, for me, the only thing that matters is what my soul came here to do. I trust the creator for that process. And I just trust the process. I wanted to share one thing in regards to what we were saying before. You know, I've mentioned this, I know, in previous podcasts, but it really is such a touchstone for me that my father's teacher, or Brandwein, on his grave, there's a long inscription explaining who he was and how he lived his life. And my favorite quote, and it's an ancient quote, but it was true about him, which means he was an individual who many people would embarrass and speak negatively of, and he never returned. Meaning he never bothered him, never spoke bad about it, never spoke bad about other people. And I don't know if you know how depth my father would often speak about that. Like there were many, many, many people who had very terrible things to say about my father's teacher for different silly reasons. It doesn't even matter.
I mean, honestly,
that's true.
A lot
right.
of
anybody who's trying to do something in this world.
A lot of spiritual giants were really spoken badly.
Exactly. I mean, it starts
and people were trying to stop them.
And because and this is a deeper level, which is not, it's a little bit off topic, is because there is a negative force in our world that is trying to stop
light
from being revealed. I mean, as you said before, it goes back to Adam and Eve, the snake, right? That the snake, and then we find literally every spiritual giant throughout the history in the Torah and the Bible. They all had, you know, Joseph and his brothers, right? Abraham and
opposition, but
that's
but,
opposition
but,
people but, who are defaming them and trying to destroy them, not just in other ways, but also with words. King David. I mean, literally. I mean, you will not find a spiritual giant who wasn't defamed. Anyway, what?
But I think it's important to point that out.
Right. But back to us, meaning to our listeners and ourselves, there's a great Kabbalist, the Baal Shem Tov, who says that a person is never judged, meaning we know there's cause and effect. So if I do something negative, that creates an energy that has to become manifest in my life unless I do something to change it. But there's a caveat, there's actually a stopgap in between, which is that I and you, any one of our listeners, is never going to receive that judgment in return, even if they did something negative, unless they judge with words somebody else for doing the same thing. So let me give an example.
Yeah.
let's assume, you know, I went to the local grocery store and I stole $10 from the cash register. Right? Thank you for that. And I go home and I use the $10. Now, so because I've stolen $10, I've created a negative energy that's with me and has to come back into my life and make me in some way lose $10 one way or another. But that negativity that I've created stays in abeyance. It does not come back into my life right away. It waits.
It stays where?
It doesn't come back. It doesn't manifest. The effect created by my cause does not come into my life, which means I am not going to lose $10 because of that right away. But if tomorrow you and I are having dinner and I say, no, by the way, Joe, I saw Joe steal from his friend Fred, right? Then that opens the door for my stealing, the effect of my stealing to enter into my life, right?
It doesn't have to be that you're talking about that. It could be any kind of gossip.
No, you have to be talking specifically about that.
Uh-huh.
So you will never be judged in a spiritual way, meaning unless you use those words in judgment towards somebody else about the same topic.
Interesting.
Which means, and this is the beauty of it.
Give us another example.
let's assume, a person gets angry at somebody else and yells, right? So that we know that anger creates negative energy that then comes back into a person's life and can sometimes cause depression, all kinds of negative effects, right? So there's the cause, there's the effect. The cause being the anger, the effect being it returning back into the person's life, into their emotional state and bringing him or her down. So the person did the cause, right? So he or she created the energy that is waiting to come back into their lives and manifest as in a negative way, but it will not unless he or she opens the door by sitting with their friend and saying, you know, I saw Frank get really angry at their wife.
Poor Frank.
And he was yelling at his wife. Can you believe it?
Interesting.
Then the door is open for that person's anger, the speaker's anger, to come into their life and become effect. Which means, and this is the beauty, and I really hope
that's very powerful.
And I find this very inspiring. If a person never speaks negatively about another person, no negativity that he or she created will ever become manifest in their lives.
You can just stop the podcast right there. That's it. That's it. That's really it.
Yeah.
That's really it. You can play it anywhere. Parenting, being lazy, you know, I mean, literally everything.
Right.
Which is interesting because we all are all those things, right?
But I think, again, for me, the greatest inspiration is that understanding that, and this is another related idea that it says in the creation of man in the biblical story, it says "Vayhi ha'adam le'nefesh chaya," that man became a living life force. There's a great Kabbalist who translated the Torah, the original Hebrew, into Aramaic, and he uses a phrase to teach us, to tell us what does it mean that man becomes a living being. It says "leruach memalala," to a speaking spirit. That if you want to know actually what you are, what makes you a human being, what makes you a spiritual being, the fact that you, the force of speech. So it is not an additional element, right? That man speaks, animals don't speak, but that it actually is our life force. So what does that mean? And this is both scary, but hopefully inspirational.
I think everything we've said so far is scary.
I have some more. That when I speak, and this is based on a verse in the Song of Songs, my spirit goes out with my word. Nafshi yatsa bidvaro. When I speak, my soul is going out. Now, which means I am attaching my soul, my spirit, my life force to every word. If I speak 100% positive words, then my life force is now attached 100% to life. If As a person, again, just to use the extreme to make it clear, if I speak 100%, if a person speaks 100% negative words, they have attached 100% of their life force, 100% of their souls to negativity.
100% goes every time?
No. I'm just using that to explain. No. Every time I speak, a spark of my spirit.
And then they add up exits to the totality.
And attaches itself to the world, to the word. So the words are not just powerful, they are who we are, essence. So when I speak, I am taking a spark of my soul, a spark of my life force, and attaching it to the word I'm saying, be it positive or negative. If in a day a person spent 60% of their speech on positive, so their life force is now 60% connected to good and 40% not so good. And that's the balance. But when you understand that beautiful teaching from the Song of Songs, my spirit goes out with the word, which means every word that I speak is a manifestation of a spark of my soul. And of course, the totality of my speech is determinative of whether I'm attached to good things or bad things, to light or to darkness.
It's interesting because I can feel a difference. Like if I speak in public, right? I always feel connected to the creator, but I understand it more fully in this right. idea. It's that what I am saying is the most powerful, positive aspect of life, really, or my being. And so I'm so connected to
it. Right,
exactly.
You're attaching yourself
to those
positive words.
And then you
feel
it come back into you.
Exactly.
And then I look at some people, you know, a lot of people call us about a lot of things. And sometimes people curse themselves, like they want to die because they're going through some kind of pain or struggle. And then it continues over time, that kind of conversation, and they get lower and worse and worse, and they can't see why, but this explains it.
Absolutely. And I think if we take a step back, and this is also based on the ancient Kabbalistic teachings, that the main reason why our world is filled, and especially nowadays, filled with so much death and destruction
and
war and pain and chaos and death, is because of the collective pollution of our words.
And how quickly they spread. They spread faster than ever now.
Right, exactly. Social media. Can you imagine?
Without that.
Social media is unfortunately very often
a big weapon.
Maximizer of darkness. So, you know, we've spoken throughout the podcast about the individual effect. But I think part of our inspiration to really change, and I really hope, and as I said in the beginning of this podcast, that we really create change in our world. And how do you do that? If you know, and I say this to every one of our listeners, because none of us are perfect in this, but that every negative word that you say, not just affects you as we spoke about, but actually creates a pollution of darkness in our world. You know, I wonder, if somebody's ever done the math, how many words are spoken in the world every day, right? And how many...
In all the different languages.
Of the 9 billion people or so. And if you want to know why tomorrow morning the world wakes up and there's still death and destruction and wars and anger and hatred, it's because we, humanity as a whole, continue to pollute our world with the weight of negative words. And I hope that this time that we've spent with our listeners really inspires them and also them to speak to their friends and family about the terrible damage that we, each one of us individually and collectively, do to ourselves and to our world by allowing this weight of negative word pollution to continue to exist.
If our listeners need one more reason not to speak negative, there's something called spontaneous trait transference. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
I always love this. I studied this years ago and it stayed with me. Studies show that when you describe someone else as cruel, dishonest, or lazy, or anything really that's negative, listeners unconsciously associate those name traits with you.
Oh, really? That's very funny.
The way you describe other people is the way they'll see you, for both good or bad. So just keep that at the forefront of your mind next time you have something to say.
That's very funny. So I'd like to share two reviews that we recently got to our podcast. So first, I listened to episode 156 on abundance and enjoying it. Quite honestly, this has changed my worldview. I grew up not having much, watching my parents struggle paycheck to paycheck. And so naturally, I took on an attitude of, quote, I must create a different financial situation for myself, end quote. I did, but didn't enjoy it, and even felt guilty for having. This had changed the way I see abundance and how it's the limitless light energy and flow from the creator, not from me. Thank you, Bergs, for your amazing show. Thank you. Thank you, Melissa. And this one I personally really enjoyed.
Nobody's called us Bergs before.
Actually, I've heard people call this
really
birds.
On the letters. Yes. Do you get that? Whenever they ask me last name, they're like, "Oh, bird." I'm like, "No, not bird."
Yes, I've heard that. Here's another one. I have this podcast on at any given time during the day, and it helps to ensure that I stay intentional and focused on my journey throughout the day. However, I disagree with the recent review read on the authenticity episode. I adore Michael and all of his wisdom, and I'm always happy to hear what he has to share. I feel like the interrupting is the other way around. Shots fired. Well, I don't agree with that last part, but thank you for the first part. And I think if it wasn't clear, I did not take that previous review seriously, but I was entertained by it as I am entertained by this one.
I'll be entertained too.
But, but most importantly, we are inspired by your messages to us through the Apple reviews or through the emails that you send us. So make sure to keep sending your questions, comments, stories, inspirations, sometimes reviews to Monica and Michael at spirituallyhungry.life. Monica and Michael at spirituallyhungry.life. Make sure you go to Apple Podcasts, write 5-star reviews. Make sure you share this podcast with everybody you know. It inspires us, and I believe it inspires them. We hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast as much as we enjoyed recording it.
Stay spiritually hungry.